This is CliffCentral.com.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, everybody. Oh, I feel like shit.
Oh, that is not the Friday mood I was expecting.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm so,
what is wrong with you?
I don't know. I was doing so well this winter. I got sick, I think, once, and it lasted 2 days, and I was like, yay, I'm over it. And winter's almost over. I got all that false optimism. I knew that bitch August was waiting around the corner.
Bastard.
Yeah, you know how I feel about my my birth month, right? I don't have a lot of love for her.
Oh, when is your birthday again?
Oh, gosh, thanks very much.
Oh,
guess who wasn't thinking about my birthday at all?
She was still preoccupied by thinking about Gord's birthday.
It's my friend's birthday today, that's why I'm...
Oh, no, I'm on the 26th. You've got lots of time to buy me a present and think of great things to say about me. Oh, listen, little update by way of full disclosure. You remember last week, Friday, I was talking about that friend of my dad's who's like such a close...
Yes.
Family friend of mine, yes. and
like a second dad.
Yeah, correct. Like family. Well, he died last Friday, while the show was on.
Man,
and you were speaking about him.
Yeah,
I got that point.
Yeah, I got the message while we were busy doing the show, and you have to carry on. It's none of your business really, and I don't have to ruin your day by getting all depressed. But I went home early last Friday, and then I took Monday off because we spend a lot of time with his family and. You know, they're really, really special people in my life. So we've got a little memorial service for him on Sunday. But it's weird how these things happen and they suddenly bring all the important shit right to the front and they send all the dumb stuff
right.
that you don't think is important.
Perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Right away.
How's the family been?
Yeah, they're okay. We went there for dinner on Monday night and... I felt better about kind of how they're dealing with it. But I know that these things take time. They just take time.
Yeah, that's all it is.
So
shame, man.
Yeah, it doesn't just happen. And, it's shit. It's not great. But what can you do? I wish we could all last forever. You know?
I don't really.
No,
well,
I don't.
No.
I'm tired.
Let's say this. Let's say not last forever.
But the idea of sleeping forever?
Ooh. Let's say... you could choose when you've had enough. You get to decide.
Yeah, it's actually quite shitty that it's our lives, and yet that decision is made for us.
Well, you could always decide to prematurely end it, as some people do, but usually those are not great decisions for the people around them.
Mm.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is like, you know, this idea, and I can't believe it's still controversial in some places, where people get to decide, I'm old now, and I'm finished, and I don't want to be here anymore, and I'm in pain, or whatever. And there's still people out there in the world who think that it's their business to force people who don't want to be around to stay around. And
you know, a lot of it's got to do with the Bible and the fact that we're not allowed to take our own lives.
Well, and also laws. I don't understand how the
Bible
laws instituted.
Leanne's not wrong. Like, a lot of it does come from the Bible. And
because you'll go to hell.
Yeah, and we don't know that, right? Someone says, don't get me going again, Uncle Louie.
What happened to him again? He burst into flames.
How can you forget
someone poured petrol on the
like
fire
that.
And then he burst into flames.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, Uncle Louie.
Morning, guys. Happy Friday. This is from, let me just check whose name is associated with the Sandile. It says, interesting how Pumi and Gareth had that debate yesterday about foreign nationals, and a few hours later that video shows up of them attacking SAPs in the Joburg CBD. I saw that. So apparently a bunch of informal traders in Joburg just got tired of being extorted, being pushed around. And what this has shown me, and maybe it showed you the same thing, but we have no real security establishment left in South Africa. And that which there is are really just a bunch of bullies and mercenaries. And of course, I reserve a little bit of space because there are good policemen and women who are trying to do a good job. But a lot of these people have realized that their bosses are incompetent, that they get paid probably quite badly for the danger that they put themselves in. And in a situation where it's them against the citizens or them against a bigger, angrier group, guess who's going to win? The bigger, angrier group, mm-hmm. and the police are going to fade like a flower. That's what happens. So yesterday in the CBD, a bunch of these informal traders, certainly this is the idea that I got from the news last night. These guys, they're selling their goods. They're street vendors, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
They've made something. They've bought something. They're going to sell that stuff on. For a lot of people, the CBD is a great place to go and shop for basic essentials, to get a haircut, to top up on airtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the CBD is always in a city. It's the hustle and the bustle. It's where things happen, and you get things cheaper very often. You buy things in bulk if you like. You can get just your daily rations if that's what you need. So because the CBD's fallen apart from a security point of view, and I know that there are things that the current mayor of Johannesburg is trying to do, and I know there's Maboneng for the rich people who think that they're being so adventurous by going to the living room and the art galleries in Maboneng and the market.
Where all the blacks live.
The market. Well, it's also the very, very smart whites who are like refurbishing apartments in old buildings.
I have to wear my plastic engagement ring.
What's that?
Containers as well. Have you seen that in Maboneng?
Yeah, where they put up all these containers and people put in shops or they live there. It's clever. I know I'm being sarcastic about it, but good. People trying to revitalize the city, because there's a reason that people wanted to live in the city, in every other city in the world. The reason is because it's close to everything. Anyway, these informal settlers, these informal traders, these people are trying their best to make a living, just like everyone else in South Africa. They have to put up with predation by the police, extortion. Policeman comes along and says, hey, you're not allowed to sell stuff on the street. Where's your permit? Because the government gives you a permit to do this. Like, they have any business being involved in you.
And like, they're monitoring any of it.
Right. And these guys then get shook down for their money or their goods.
It's their goods, dude. I've lived
you've
in
seen
town.
It you've seen it happen, right?
These guys take everything.
The cops clear it up.
Yeah.
And then these guys not only have paid for these things themselves so that they can sell them on, or made them themselves, even worse, their livelihood is stolen away from them. So they just decided yesterday.
Very harsh.
Yeah, they started, like, giving the middle finger to the police. They're like, you can't come in here and bully us. We're just trying to sell stuff.
Just trying to live.
Now, there may be crime, maybe all these things. I don't know if it's the informal traders. I don't think it would be. It's against their interests to have crime among them, because they're trying to sell things. They understand economics. It's probably other people who are resentful that they are able to open a shop on the side of the road, that they understand economics. It's other people who are resentful of that are probably the criminals. Just a supposition.
Yeah, and especially if the people selling are from neighboring countries.
Correct. Because we are basically racist, xenophobic, sexists.
Bastards.
And homophobes. Did I leave out homophobes?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. What do you think the cops do with that? All those fruits and veggies once they take them?
Take them home, eat them,
get
sell
them to
them,
their family.
Do whatever they want to them.
Yeah.
They certainly don't take them to the police station and stockpile them there. Right? So, it's basically these guys have been victimized and victimized and victimized, and they're sick of it. And they said, we're not gonna take it. No, we ain't gonna take it. And they just said to the police, fuck you.
I love a
good song. They started throwing stones at them. They started rushing at them. The police,
they were running down the street.
The Metro Police, there's a video of the Metro Police cowering behind a Metro Police vehicle while these guys advance on them. Shows you, first of all, that our police are no longer a force to be dealt with. Second of all, that they have been and will be continue to be loathed by these informal traders. People hate the police. Our own people hate the police. The foreigners hate the police. And they have no respect anymore. And they don't have the upper hand in terms of force anymore. Government's monopoly on force is deteriorating, which in some ways I'm kind of happy about. In other ways, it shows a breakdown of law and order and structural collapse. So, you know what? It's interesting that happened yesterday. And I had an argument with Pumi, for those who missed it, about she's got this crazy hatred for Herman Mashaba. I mean, there was xenophobia before Herman Mashaba. There's going to be xenophobia after Herman Mashaba. I think I had that argument conclusively with Pumi yesterday. I don't know that there's much more to be said about it, but if you hate Herman, then using xenophobia to smash him over the head is a fairly crude weapon, because there are probably more nuanced ways you could approach the problem of that you don't like him or that you don't like the DA. That's all I'm saying. So, yes, to get to the short answer to your otherwise short question, interesting thing that happened, because nothing happens by coincidence. We've got a lot of moving parts in this country, and the people who come off the worst are always the poor.
Mm-hmm.
It's always people who don't have the right papers. It's always people who get taken advantage of. And in a country where everybody's victimized, first of all, by the past, they're victimized by their own family breakdown, they're victimized by poverty, all these things. There are legitimate reasons to be a victim. What happens is that victims, except for those who discover a better path, either because they become religious and it gives them a spiritual purpose, or because they decide they're going to raise their kids properly and break the cycle, whatever it might be. But most victims then become victimizers.
Most victims become...
Unless they can find meaning and purpose... You. And they can break out of that cycle of victimhood.
Mm.
They become the oppressor.
They also want an outlet of sorts.
Correct. So what they do is they, as victims, take advantage of people lower than them on the scale. And so on and so on and so on. Till the very worst place to be is at the bottom of that pile, where you are poor, uneducated, unemployed, desperate, hopeless, probably without means of any kind, alone, you know, homeless people, basically.
Yeah.
They're the ones who really get the shit that flows all the way downhill. And they have to sit there with their mouths open and swallow it. And I reckon that informal settlers from other countries who've come here to try and seek economic empowerment of some kind, when they arrive here, they're right at the bottom of that pile too. So they get taken advantage of as well. I mean, I've got a friend who just came back. I said this to Pumi yesterday. She had to cross the border from Zimbabwe to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And they shook her down. They said, we need 4,000 rand.
Oh, man.
And she had to, give all the money that she had on her. And she probably had to do that going
into... It's not a way to live, man.
You know, it's just... we've got to stop thinking that the biggest problem in the world is... You know, someone who says something on Twitter. This shit's happening around us. Yeah. I want to know where all those activists on Twitter are when this stuff happens in the real world. You know where they are? They're sitting in their comfortable houses, in their comfortable lives.
In front of their laptops.
Trying to be activists. Yeah. Trying to be, I've got a moral conscience. I'm a good person. No, you're not. You're tweeting about stuff that involves you. You're self-absorbed. You don't give a shit about anyone else. And when the world starts to look like it cares about what you think, then your ego is filled up and you carry on doing that to make yourself feel self-aggrandized and important. It's bullshit. Like, there are real people with real problems. You know, stop being a prick.
Yeah.
Imagine being one of those people. You've been into the CBD.
I've seen them shooting at these people. I've seen them walk into the shops, pull shit out, and just start shooting.
Man,
who does that?
Now, what do the cops expect? That's gonna stay the way it is. One day, these people are gonna crack.
Well, that happened yesterday, didn't it?
Right.
It looked like a movie set. These people running down the streets. It was like zombie apocalypse. It was crazy, man.
I didn't see the video, Leanne, but I've literally seen it go down.
Yeah.
Live, and it does look like a movie.
Jeez.
Here's an interesting point that someone makes, and we're not going to turn this into a second part of my argument with Pumi, because she's not here. I'd rather have her in the room. But Graham says, Pumi doesn't understand that politics is downstream from culture. Culture comes first, and then politics comes. And her cultural norm, according to Graham, is postmodern ideology. which you can go and look up. I'm not going to get into a huge philosophical discussion about postmodern ideology, but it may be worth your while to look at it. It's absolute rubbish that was made up by French philosophers and intellectuals. And French philosophers and intellectuals can be thanked for a lot of the shit that we're dealing
all
with.
All of the shit.
A lot, right? Foucault, for example, is a complete basket case. What the French philosophers did and what all postmodern ideology is, and it's a lot more than this, but I'm going to boil it down to its roots for you. Someone has a problem in their life. They're miserable, they're unhappy, they're unfulfilled. They blame structures, society, politics, the economy, just about everyone except themselves. The thing, the central tent peg of postmodern ideology is that the world is there to oppress you. And you're part of an oppressed group. If you're a woman, you're less than a man. If you're black, you're less than white. If you're old, you're less than young. If you're young, you're less than old some of the time. And it's all these overlapping victim groups.
Mm.
And what it boils down to, and this is the central part of so many of the philosophies that infuse the modern world, particularly on the left. It includes communism and Marxism and socialism, Maoism, various other attempts at trying to make everyone in society equal. Because the thing that pisses off Marxists and postmodernists and all of those people alike is when they perceive inequality in society. Now, as I've said to you, I am at the other end of that extreme. I think the whole point of life is to be as unequal to everyone else as possible, to be as individual as possible. I don't want to belong to any of your groups. If you invite me to your group, I'm out. Count me out. It gives me no joy. Not because I'm a loner or I'm a sad person or I think I'm better. I'm just different, and I like to be as different to you as possible. I don't want to meet my clone. My clone is not interesting to me. And if there are 1,000 like me, I am bored by 1,000 times instead of just by one. I don't understand how people can think like that. And life is so unfulfilling to a postmodernist. There's no spiritual purpose. Everything's material.
Oh.
Yeah. It's all just...
I need to do more research on this.
So a postmodernist would say, the four of us in this room,
mm-hmm.
Gugu's wearing this nice green... Like, what do you call that? Like a gilet.
Body warmer jacket.
Yeah, like a gilet type thing. Sia's wearing a very nice striped black and white
stripes.
Jersey. And because he's so thin, he can wear horizontal stripes. Yes.
Darling.
Makes you look broader.
Fat people
you must
can
be
never.
The envy.
Mm. The people must just envy your body. Leanne is wearing this very pretty sort of paisley bluish top and a very nice, what do you call that? A snood. A scarf hood.
Yes.
Very nice. Now, a postmodernist would say, no, this is not good because you're showing that you have different income levels. I mean, I think everyone here is dressed quite nicely.
Oh, but goodness.
Everybody must put their money into a central pot and the state will decide.
And then we'll just wear the same things.
Yeah, correct. Oh. Basically, the more equal we are, the more happy we'll be. So if we were all here in a uniform, we'd feel better about ourselves.
Oh, feeling crazy, Australian, right? Vibes coming in.
Worse than that. It's Stalinist.
Worse than Australia.
So I don't want to go down that path, but Graham may be onto something. And when you see this stuff, you've got to call it out for the bullshit it is. Because we've become obsessed. People are obsessed with two or three things in the world right now. You hear it everywhere, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Equality. Comes mm-hmm. up all the time. Well, that person has nothing. That person has a lot. We must take from the person who has a lot. People just don't feel bad about that at all. If someone's worked for their things, people feel nothing about taking that stuff from them if they perceive them to be richer than someone else.
Affirmative reposition.
Crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
If someone's poor, everybody feels, well, we've got to help them. Like, somehow they're less than you. It's this bigotry that I always talk about, right? Soft bigotry of low expectations. So, because someone is poorer than you, they must be shamed. They just don't get it. So let's help them. Let's figure it out for them. How patronizing. The other thing that they're obsessed with, freedom. Which I agree is a good thing to espouse.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have as many choices in your life as possible. Part of the reason our ancestors were as miserable as they were, all of them, was because they had no freedom. They belonged to the church, the state, the tribe. the chief, the boss, the king.
Hence the melancholy.
Correct. That's right. And maybe the third thing is this idea that there's happiness to be found. Which is sometimes correct. I mean, the purpose of life isn't happiness. It's a good purpose, but it's not enough. Because
the purpose of life is happiness.
For you.
Oh. Yes,
okay.
Queen.
And for Sia.
Yeah.
Yes, Queen.
I'm here for that. But that should be the title of your memoir.
What is essentially the purpose of life, Gary? Because for me, it's
oof, what a big
it's
question.
It's fulfillment, Jesus, it's happiness, yeah. It's peace.
If I knew that answer, we wouldn't have to do the show anymore. We could
go in softer. Ask him his favorite color, for crying out loud.
I'd do the last show ever on that. I'd say, here's the answer to the Gugu's question, and then we could shut down the world. If I knew that.
Oh, no, man. But I think...
But I think
to me, it is that. It is actually happiness.
Yeah.
Please. I want to be happy for myself. If I'm not living a happy life, then...
Yeah, but you... But happiness is... So what is happiness?
Humans aren't wired to be happy.
No, we're actually wired for suffering.
If we were happy, we would just lie on our beds and not have any goals. It's the being unhappy that forces you to do things.
Well, the best argument for this, and what Leanne's saying is exactly right, the best argument I've heard recently for this is Jordan Peterson's argument, where he says happiness is what? Contentment and satisfaction. It's lying on the softest bed possible,
yeah.
Being fed peeled grapes by a beautiful girl, listening to the most beautiful music. But even if you were doing that, exactly what I described now, how long would it take you to get bored?
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes,
exactly.
I suppose.
So if happiness is all of that stuff, you know, they always show like an angel playing a harp in heaven.
Can't wait to meet that angel.
Yes, but...
Google will be like, how's it, angel?
Yeah, but you'll get bored.
I've been waiting to see you.
I'll see you when I get there.
So he says that the purpose is to find meaning and to learn.
Oh, and when we find it, we just search for more.
Right. Once you've ticked off one part of it, you're like, but that made me think about this next thing.
Oh. Mm.
We're not wired to be happy.
No, unfortunately, that's just a statement of fact, because humans are like all other animals, and we suffer. Suffering's part of what we do. Anyway, very heavy for a Friday.
Yeah, this is...
Jesus. Thanks, Gugu.
What's wrong with you?
Flip, my scale broke.
Justice.
Your scale broke?
Heavy, brew.
Oh!
See, I was taking you seriously for a second. I don't know if you should be insulted.
No, right. It just makes me worry about him, but that's okay.
I'm having a very slow morning, excuse me. I'll be warming up in the corner.
Well, the good news is I don't feel as bad as I thought I would this morning. I thought I'd be sniffing up a storm and irritating all the audience by going,
hello, you irritated me this morning.
Thanks, Gugu. All right, thank you. You know, I invited you into the studio today. I'm thinking that was a bad idea right now.
All right, you'll have the weekend to rest off.
Stories in the news. It's 8:30, yeah, and I'm going to this weekend. I'm definitely resting. Post office is closing some branches to cut costs. Well, the one over here in Rivonia.
How many bad experiences have you had with this one?
Hang on. I want to stand up for the people who work there. There's someone called Busi who works there, and mm-hmm. She has always been amazing. She will let me know when there's a parcel for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go over and see her. We have a chat. She's always really helpful, gets things done as quickly as possible. I love Busi to pieces, and if Busi's branch is closing, I'm going to be so sad, because I like working with people who love their jobs, and Busi gets shit done.
I remember growing up, you know, I used the post office quite a bit, especially to enter competitions.
Did you have pen pals?
Yes, and used postcards and things and stamps. And the post office was run by this guy who, I don't know, he's just lower on the human chain. Uh-oh. You know what I mean?
Is he missing a chromosome?
Yeah, he's missing a chromosome.
It's slow.
But so nice, and this is his world, and he runs it. And he eventually married a woman who worked behind one of the booths.
Aww.
And the two of them were just, if we were talking about happiness, they were so happy.
See that?
They were the boss of their own little world.
Maybe they were better off than all of us. Who knows?
Stamp, 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 stamp. Lick, post.
Sure.
Right, like sign, papers.
Machine.
Yeah, they love it.
What a world. Like, if that's your world, and you can make the best of it, great. Because we all think, well, I wouldn't want to work in the post office. Well, I wouldn't want to be a whatever. I mean, I wouldn't want to be a doctor. The stress.
Probably kill people.
I probably would, inadvertently. I wouldn't do it on purpose. I don't know what you're insinuating. Yeah. But the post office is cutting these branches, right?
But hasn't the head of the post office resigned or
something?
Yes.
That's my... You're stealing my thunder.
Oh,
that's
I'm so sorry.
My second... Don't do that to the microphone. It's very unprofessional. Don't you hear what... Learn some studio etiquette, you...
You threw me in, yeah? You didn't tell me what to do or what not to do.
Don't move the... Okay, watch. Watch what happens when I need to move my microphone. Watch.
Go ahead.
Right, now I'm back. Did you hear a noise?
Yes, but we didn't have the buttons.
Imagine...
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what that's like for someone who's listening? Well, then you show me that you want your button off like a good person would, a smart person. Ooh. You go, need to move my microphone.
Hand signals.
And then I'll switch it down. Yes.
Okay.
Man flu.
No, yeah, you thanks. Just moved.
Can exactly. we get to back to the post office?
Thanks. I'm going to stand up for Gareth, actually, on this one.
Many South Africans raised concerns that post offices were abruptly shutting down in some areas. Well, ours across the road that I was talking about with Busi in it just the other day had no power for a long time because they hadn't paid their bill.
Oh, man.
That's what I was going to bring up. So it's nothing against the people, and they might be amazing people, but I've had countless encounters with walking into the post office and they say, sorry, we can't help you because the electricity hasn't been paid. How is that a thing?
Well, that's management, or mismanagement as it is. So maybe it's a good thing that the CEO has resigned. Here's the story, though. According to the organization's corporate plan for the past year, the state-owned entity...
There's no plan.
...last made a profit in 2006 and has been kept afloat by government subsidies. On Thursday, the company's board announced its group CEO, Mark Barnes, resigned after 3.5 years at the helm of the institution. Now, I remember a lot of people saying, Mark Barnes is going to fix the post office. And, you know, there's also there's this racist idea from white people that if a white guy's in charge of something, it's going to work. But if it's good blacks... You know, blacks can't run anything. So here's a white dude, you motherfuckers. And he didn't seem to run things very well. Now, did he? And sure, he's also, like everyone in these state-owned enterprises, dealing with a world that has changed so much. People don't post letters. People hardly ever use the post office. The only reason it lives and exists in my life is because I order stuff from overseas. And then it arrives somewhere. And that somewhere is usually the post office. Mm. But even I have started using PostNet and other courier services. First of all, they're more reliable. Second of all, it arrives on time. Third of all, usually there aren't unforeseen costs that there are with the post office very often. And I've got to admit, post office, sometimes the box is broken. Sometimes the stuff in the boxes are broken. Mm. It's not always great.
Yeah.
And as Leanne said... Sometimes, you know, Sia said that the power's sometimes off, but Leanne said that sometimes it's not always easy to get what you need done at the post office. Mm. So Mark Barnes has resigned, and the board said Barnes cited differences on forward strategy in relation to the structure of the postal service as a reason to leave. Post office board spokesperson Charles Nwayi last said, we have decided to do something else by merging those post offices so we can have less branches and they can run properly and they can optimize operations there. So I don't know how they're going to tell us.
They'll mail us.
Yeah, check your postbox.
They'll mail us.
Zach, do you have a postbox?
Do I? No. I drive over my pamphlets every day.
Because we live in a complex, yes. But I actually have never gone to check my mail.
Do you ever give that postbox address at your complex as your address?
Yeah, sometimes you have to.
When I'm filling out forms.
Yeah.
But regardless, really if there's any sort of big package.
So where do you get your traffic fines? You go to Pay City or one of those
things? Online.
Yeah, I go online.
That's what I do too.
And
so what are your interactions at the post office? Just out of interest. Leanne?
Nothing.
For me, it's where I still renew my license disc.
Okay.
My car license.
Do you use it for anything?
Just the license disc, and that's it. That's where it ends.
So the reason the post office started doing that is because... Why? Because the Department of Transport is shittier than the post office. So they said, well, we'll take over license renewal because we've got branches all over the country. We could do that.
Mm.
So instead of going to the traffic department, because they're even more crap...
Mm.
You go to the post office, but now the post office is closing branches. You might not be able to go to such a close one. Maybe you'll want to go to the traffic department again. Who knows?
Yeah. But then the pain and admin of it actually wasn't seamless. You had to go there and they wouldn't accept you swiping your card. So you had to bring in cash.
Yeah,
and
it's like, I remember that.
Why am I carrying so much cash? Yeah, wasn't an easy experience, to say the least.
In the second story, Mark Barnes obviously resigning. And 3.5 years ago, he tried to turn the ailing state-owned entity around. Group COO Lindiwe Kwela has been appointed interim CEO of the post office, and apparently he resigned, citing differences, as I said, and the post office thanks him for his service. But we don't really, as the people of South Africa, know whether we want a great post office, because what are they going to do, or whether we should just shelve the whole thing.
Yeah, stick to couriers and online shopping and things like that.
I mean, maybe you could do that now and you don't need the post office. So you've got to, I feel sorry for Busi and people like Busi who I've really got to know at our local post office, because I don't want Busi to lose her job. But unfortunately, this is what the fourth industrial revolution that government keep talking about is all about.
I'm not even making this up. The post office actually sponsored a fourth industrial revolution conference weeks ago.
That's like
I properly chuckled when I saw that.
Yeah, that's like someone who's on the death penalty sponsoring like the death penalty.
You just don't make these things up. But I'm never jealous of these leaders who walk into an ailing company with a big song and dance and they are going to turn things around, because that moment lasts for 2 seconds and then everyone is looking at you like, well, okay, and what now? What are you going to do now? You know, when a big company has gone through like sexual harassment charges and they think, yeah, you're actually throwing a woman CEO and things will be fine there. No, that's not going to help anything.
Does nothing. And those poor people who work there just lose their jobs eventually, because the place has run into the ground. Well, I mean, this point is made very well by one of our listeners. He just sent me a message, and you can do that too. 0797482090. Ash says, I haven't used the post office in over 15 years, aside from one delivery that I couldn't get couriered. It took them 6 months to deliver something from the U.S. that arrived in Durban in 6 days.
Wow.
They must shut it down along with SAA and the SABC. Tourists are cancelling trips to South Africa. This is very bad news. A tour guide said a number of foreigners have cancelled trips to South Africa after hearing attacks on tourists. Over the weekend, Ukrainian Ivan Ivanov was robbed and murdered while hiking near Hout Bay.
What a name.
Yeah. The Table Mountain Watch Group said 14 people were attacked in the park since January, significantly down from 42 attacks during the same period last year. Tour guide Ida Torres says she was concerned that ongoing attacks on tourists are having a devastating impact on the industry. Late last year, she took a group of tourists to the Simonstown area, and while they were having lunch, their bus was broken into and valuables stolen. Yeah, lawlessness, Cyril. Hmm. I saw him on the news last night. He looks like a ghost.
Oh, where is he?
Don't know, but he was sitting in some room with a projector behind him, and he was talking about how he needs to, in inverted commas, stem the tide of joblessness and unemployment. Try and turn it around. He looks exhausted. Whatever's going on in Cyril's life right now, the guy's obviously going through a breakdown.
Do you
really? I'm not being sarcastic.
Yeah.
And you know what? Because he's completely lost control and the place is a disaster from top to bottom, it's probably right that he has a breakdown. If he didn't have a breakdown, he'd be as crazy as the previous president who had a thick skin and didn't care.
You mean thick skull?
Well, I didn't say it, but you did. No, thanks for that, you anti-Zuma acolyte.
Do you remember recently when you spoke about Tony Blair and how he wouldn't have survived running currently, like in 2009, the way in which he conducts himself and how calculated
it. Hi, I'm Tony, and I'm here to help you.
I had a bit of a revelation thinking, our current president also might be of that time. You know, saying things like stemming, you know, for jobs. Like, what are you saying? Just be upfront. Say what you mean. That's what we want to hear.
This is I agree with
you. If he was around, I think, 20 years ago, 15 years ago.
People would like to hear that shit.
We would really tie into the hope, and he wants to create more jobs, and he's going around and, you know, campaigning and hugging people. Love that. And to my mean, yes, Mr. President, I'll go behind you. But now I don't think it's really cutting it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, yesterday, Khosi Chikane said he wishes the president would be brave and be a bit of a bully with these people who are pushing him around. He hasn't got it in him. Cyril wouldn't have been the top kid in the class at school. He's a nice guy. He's like a negotiator. He's a consensus maker. You remember him and Rolf Meyer back in the days of the beginning of democracy in Kodesa. Mm-hmm. He's a collaborator. He likes to work with other people and find ways to find the best solution. I didn't mean collaborator in the sense, the pejorative sense, where people say, oh, this guy's dangerous, and he's trying to thwart the plan from within. But he's not strong. And the more I see him, the more I start to think he's really weak. You know? So, poor guy. Alright, two quick stories. Street vendors and law enforcement clash in Joburg. We kind of covered this already, but for your information, street vendors in the Joburg CBD have accused the police of terrorizing them. And this is according to EWN. On Thursday afternoon, vendors clashed with the police during a raid on seized counterfeit goods. An armored vehicle was pelted with stones and rubbish bins were overturned. South African Police Service and Johannesburg Metro Police clashed with protesters. Officers arrived in their numbers to seize the counterfeit goods, but were met with a hostile response.
It's about time.
Yeah. Vendors were seen throwing stones at the police, who retaliated by firing rubber bullets. A man was injured in the stomach. The police did not respond by the time of publication. Yeah. Ask any of those street vendors, they'll tell you the real story.
They know the real story.
That's all I'm saying. And the police, I'm afraid you guys are at the short end of a very, very big societal problem around law and order, which relates to the previous story. And then Leanne's got more on this later on, but Saudi Arabia has lifted travel restrictions on women.
Oh, now you stole my story.
But we'll get into it just now. That's just a headline, I promise. All right, let's get to Said by Sia for this morning. It is Friday. I hope you're in a good mood. I hope you're ready to take on the day. I am excited that I'm going to have a weekend where I can just chill and get over my cold. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I don't ask for much, but that's all I want. That's what I need this weekend.
A duvet day. Yeah. More like a duvet weekend, actually.
That's one thing that's kind of cool about winter. You can stay in bed all day and not feel as bad as if it's a beautiful summer's day outside. Alright.
Well, here's some good news coming from the University of Utah. Look, I'll always be in awe of scientists and people in the medical field for how much they just continue to push the envelope in terms of development. Here we are thinking it's all good and well that people who are unfortunately amputated, they have some of their limbs cut off. You know, they have prosthetics. Well, now the team at the University of Utah have gone a step forward, and specifically the biomedical engineers there. They've now created robotic arms that can be controlled by people's thoughts, which ultimately makes for ultra-sensitive robotic limbs that will help people who have amputated limbs, which I think is really, really cool. So they've named this new motorized device after Luke Skywalker, actually.
Oh, yeah?
So they call this prototype, for now they've just covered prosthetic arms, they've called it the Luke. And this robotic arm is so super sensitive that amputees who've tried it have been able to say they've been able to experience touching and feeling just like their original arms, and I think this is so cool. One of the people who is actually speaking out on this and who tried this out, his name is Kevin. He says that there are so many things that people who have arms take for granted. Things like plucking grapes, things like peeling a banana, things like just being able to touch his wife's hand again. And I know, like, it might be a little funny. I think it's so sweet.
I'm cracking up.
What was it, Leanne? Was it the grapes?
Okay. He got me by saying he just wanted to touch and feel his wife's hand again.
Touch me in the morning.
Damn it, Leanne.
Am I the only one thinking this is emotional?
No, it is. Just
shame. Leanne has no sympathy for people who have...
Okay, let me move on to the impressive medical and scientific facts about this. So the Luke is a robotic arm, and the hand and fingers are controlled by electrodes that are implanted in the patient's muscles. This prototype was developed by the University of Utah team, and it's connected to a computer that the person who's using it can just clip onto their belt, for example, and providing complete freedom to use it anywhere. I don't know how they're able to do this, but this is really impressive. So the sense of touch apparently means users can distinguish between different surfaces, and this is because they feel, in inverted commas, they feel objects via sensors in the hand that feeds impulses to the nerves in the arms. So Kevin, who spoke out, is one of seven test subjects and lost his hand and part of his arm in an accident back in 2002. And, you know, he is just one of 1.6 million amputees in the United States. So think about how many of their lives can be changed. And yes, Leanne, means he'll be able to pluck grapes in peace. Thank you.
Oh, I'm actually crying.
Leanne thinks that's hilarious. Yeah, it's very cruel. She's a cruel human. You're a cruel.
No, I see the point of
mean
story.
Mean person. Oh, please.
Just in the presentation, it was.
No, I think this is cute. You know, it's just little things that we take for granted. Did you know that just in our hands alone, we can perceive 119 different sensations?
Really?
That's amazing. From pressure to vibrations to being able how we identify and handle objects faster and accurately as well. 119 different perceptions.
Amazing.
That's cool. And these people are now getting to feel some of that as well with these robotic arms. Well, that's your Sia for this morning.
Thanks.
Thank
for
you,
that.
Sia.
Yeah, I appreciated that, Sia, even if Leanne didn't. She's so mean.
He cannot text.
Wait until she doesn't have a hand.
He can peel a boiled egg.
Yeah, how do you like that, Leanne?
He can able now, to peel a grape.
He can put his own ring on. These are things,
are
you know, with those...
There are a whole lot of other things, too, which are just going to get me into more trouble, so I'll just keep quiet.
I know what you think. No. Well, actually, yeah.
Sissia. All right.
Never mind. I'm done with this topic. I'm keeping quiet.
All right. It's time for something new. Gugu's going to tell us what he's up to this weekend. All right. This is a new feature that we're going to check.
It's a new feature.
Yeah. I just decided. I made it up on the spot.
It's called Go With Gugu.
It's called Go With Me.
You tried a date last time, remember?
Yeah, I tried. I went dating the entire weekend. I did that show that I told you about. Remember that?
What show is this?
It's a dating show. I can't speak about it right now. It's an embargo.
Are you gonna be on TV?
Oh.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be on TV. It's coming in the next month or so.
When's the TX date?
Don't know yet, but it's coming.
Sia just spoke TV.
Yeah.
Let's explain this to people, please.
This is the launch date.
Yeah, thank you.
It's when it's going to air. So that's going to air.
Correct. It's called the... You know why it's TX?
Mm-hmm.
You smart asses?
No. I don't know.
You want to learn something?
We want to learn something.
Because transmission. T is for transmission.
And the X?
And the X?
It's the date. So what is the date? X equals... Jesus.
Anyway,
I can only just picture the expressions we gave you, like,
that's so stupid.
It's the T date.
Yeah.
Google, can you... You can't talk about it too much, but...
Yeah, I can't talk about it too much, but...
can you talk about the premise a bit? Were you stuck in a house somewhere?
We were at a restaurant. It's a restaurant setting. So before you pull in for your date, they ask you questions about yourself, what you like, what you want, etc. Mm-hmm.
Is this on?
I can't tell you what it is.
Oh, you can't tell us.
It's never been local. It's a very new. It's new locally, but it's been done overseas.
It sounds a little bit odd to me. Suspicious.
I think you'll get it. So. Eventually,
if they came to get you, I don't know if it's going to be any good.
Say that again?
try to say that again.
What did you say?
I said if they came to get you on the show, it can't be that good.
Thanks, Jared.
There's so much love in this room this morning.
Anyway, yeah, as I was saying to you...
Yes, Google, I am interested.
As I was speaking to you and telling you about this whole thing... So I give them my spec, guys, in terms of
like what
I want.
In a woman.
Do you have a type?
I do have a type.
Okay, give us the spec.
Hey?
Tell us what the spec is.
The spec is exotic. I said to them, I want someone exotic. What do you got? What's exotic to you guys?
Ooh, yes.
I think Latino.
Exactly, Leanne.
Or Asian.
Someone with...
Exactly.
See,
a
golden
booty.
You know what I mean?
I see
skin,
exactly
golden
how
caramel
into,
skin.
Into their cleavage.
Curly hair. Exactly how you got yourself into a problem there.
Yeah.
Exotic can also be from...
Scandinavia.
Do you know what they bought?
The desert somewhere.
I'm chilling there at the bar, Gareth.
Yes, I'm listening.
Waiting for my date. Next thing I feel a tap on the shoulder, I turn around. There's this girl here.
Yeah.
I can't name her, but she's from Kenya.
Oh.
And I'm thinking to myself,
that's exotic to someone.
No, but that's the exact opposite of what Leanne just described as exotic.
You
right?
You didn't want a black girl. I know. That's what you're saying.
No,
because you can
what I'm
get
saying.
A black girl. You probably had a lot of black girlfriends. You wanted something exotic. You wanted Hispanic.
Hispanic.
You wanted Nordic. You wanted Japanese.
I got a thing for Asians, I must say.
Sure. Oh. Who doesn't? Who does? I mean, who doesn't?
Right?
Right.
Leah, no.
So, no, not after an incident in the
lick. Left with the lick.
I don't, yeah.
What happened? Did he lick you in the face?
Yeah, he licked my face.
Did you ask for it?
It's an old story. I mean,
certainly not.
We're not even that interested in anymore. Leanne always trots this old story out whenever anyone brings up Asians. She's so racist.
Lick me in the nostrils.
She got licked on her face.
By a stranger.
Mm.
And felt up under my skirt.
Look, now she can laugh about it, but that's a terrible thing to happen. All right, Gugu. Well, all right. I mean, I'm going to pretend I'm excited for you.
Thanks.
But is it a whole day of filming and stuff?
It's an afternoon of filming.
What a pain.
So you can't tell us if it was successful or not, if you're dating or not.
You guys will have to watch the show when it premieres, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're not dating at the moment, though. We're out of the dating scene for a while.
Spoiler
alert. Kind of traumatized by that. So.
Well, listen, good luck, dude. If you become a big TV star, I'll be very proud. I'll tell people, look, that I know this guy.
And he was exotic.
From the dating show.
Right.
Even though he ended up with a black girl he didn't want.
Oh, don't say that. She might be listening.
So awkward on so many levels.
I don't want to be a part of this.
Sounds like Gugu has been in a porn movie. He's being strung along, being told it's a dating show. He's going to have to plug a substantially thick girl in a future episode.
Oh, my
that
Lord.
Is what Ben Karpinski just told us.
Oh, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Yeah, Ben says you're definitely going to be in a porno. I'm actually having lunch with Ben today.
Oh, well, tell him to come see me. Yeah.
Plug doesn't sound all too romantic.
Plug, that's what you're going to do. If you end up in a porno, Gugu, you just know,
just
right?
Plug.
Okay, another message here. Asians are beautiful until they get old, says Ruth. Well, Ruth, that's very racist, too.
Aye.
It also applies to most people.
What? That they become uglier with their... Yeah, of course, as they get older. Mm. Yeah, that's. I think that's fair. And then someone says here, this is quite interesting.
Mm.
The post office. They've ordered so many jock straps that have been stolen. This is Keith. He says, the number of jock straps I've ordered off the internet that have gone through the post office that go missing is scary. People are stealing Keith's jock straps from the post office. And he says that's
have
a good reason.
Ever?
Yeah, he says that's a great reason for them to shut it down. You know? Get out of here. You think that's funny, Sia? Having your jock strap stolen?
I'm just picturing the post office warehouse and all of these staff are excited about, oh, what can we get today? And they open boxes. And
they open all the boxes that don't belong to them.
It'd just be a tiny piece of lycra.
I still don't really understand what a jock strap is.
Jock strap's the one with a pouch in the front for the balls and cock.
Okay.
Like
a waistband.
I feel like you're shouting at me.
A waistband that goes... No, I'm telling you.
A waistband.
That, well, like a... You know, it's got a waistband.
It's like a
tanga.
No, let me explain. Yes. It's got a waistband that goes all the way around. Otherwise, how will it go
stay
around
up,
your waist?
Yeah.
Then it's got a pouch in the front for the bollocks and cock. And then underneath, there are two straps that hug the ass.
Oh, the hug the bum.
But it's open ass.
Yes.
What do people wear these?
Yes.
Jock strap, you wear it in sport because it gives you support.
What kind of sport is this?
Yeah, they use it in football and things in America.
Yeah, that's the only place I've ever seen it on TV.
Cuckoo. Can you pick your jaw up from
also,
the ground?
Also, what happens to, like, mishaps further back in the anatomy?
What do you mean?
It's not covered by fabric.
Well, what are you going to be doing? Are you going to just be pooing wildly? I mean, what are you...
You guys.
What's happening with you?
What if you have a crack shot combo? Out.
Well,
how often does that happen to you? That it's so
I just did it now.
Oh.
I don't think that's an issue. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
So the skid marks end up on the garments that you're wearing, not the jock strap.
Leanne.
Keith also says Gugu's going to end up on Bait Bus, which is this porn channel where you end up being
How do you know about Bait Buster?
Because everyone knows about this Bang Bus and there's Bait Bus.
First time I'm hearing of it.
On the internet, two sites. And this is also from Keith. So Keith is clearly on a one-track thing this morning. I'm just reporting what Keith says.
Keith my ass.
BBC Lifestyle is bringing the South African version of First Dates home, and entries open on April 28th. You didn't say it, I said it. There we
Google
go.
Google can neither confirm nor deny.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just sitting here.
From Sangweni and Sangweni Associates.
You can You can hide nothing from me. My friends who listen to this show are filling me on and everything.
Google. Oh, thanks, Keith. Don't try Keith. Little genius.
No, that wasn't Keith. Don't Where blame Keith. This is from someone else.
Keith is still Andre, talking about jockstraps.
Right. Well, Andre. Leanne, do you not know what a jockstrap is?
Yeah, I do, and you I don't. I know that they won't suit me.
Well, honey, I don't think you... Never mind.
Wait, hold
actually,
on.
I'm not...
But why I don't need to worry about them again.
Okay, all right. Let's all stop in our tracks before we hurt ourselves. CliffCentral.com. It is a Friday morning. What's coming up? Well, we've got a guest popping by a little later on who will talk about action sports and adrenaline junkie stuff. That's going to be Ryan van der Spey. We talk about skiing. We're going to talk about mountain biking. We're going to talk about all kinds of exciting sports. You know, in case you haven't found enough ways to die.
I like Ryan already.
Yeah, BMX, motocross, all that stuff.
You we
interested?
Can be friends.
Hmm? Snowboarding. Yeah. And then, of course, George Meany pops by with the Auto Central's PowerPod. And Leanne's got some news. And Sia's got some news.
Yes.
And Google will take your calls. 079-748-2090. CliffCentral.com. Good morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.